Let's prepare our hearts to hear the Word of God. Our New Testament lesson today is from Philippians 2, 5 through 11. Let the same mind be in you that was in Christ Jesus, who, though he existed in the form of God, did not regard equality with God as something to be grasped, but emptied himself, taking the form of a slave, assuming human likeness. And being found in appearance as a human, he humbled himself, and he became obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. Therefore, God exalted him even more highly and gave him the name that is above every other name, so that at the name given to Jesus, every knee should bend in heaven and on earth and under the earth. And every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
The New Testament lesson today comes from the Gospel of Mark, chapter 11, verses 1 through 11. Hear the word of the Lord. When they were approaching Jerusalem at Bethphage and Bethany near the Mount of Olives, he, that would be Jesus, sent two of his disciples and said to them, "Go into the village ahead of you, and immediately as you enter it, you will find tied there a colt that has never been ridden. Untie it and bring it. If anyone says to you, 'Why are you doing this?' just say, 'The Lord needs it, and will send it back here immediately.'" They went away and found a colt tied near a door outside in the street. As they were untying it, some of the bystanders said to them, "What are you doing untying the colt?" And they told them what Jesus had said, and they allowed them to take it. Then they brought the colt to Jesus, threw their cloaks on it, and he sat on it. Many people spread their cloaks on the road, and others spread leafy branches that they had hand-cut in the fields. Then those who went ahead and those who followed were shouting, "Hosanna! Blessed is the one who comes in the name of the Lord. Blessed is the coming kingdom of our ancestor David. Hosanna in the highest heaven." Then he entered Jerusalem, and he went into the temple. And when he had looked around at everything, as it was already late, he went out to Bethany with the 12. This is the word of the Lord. This is kind of like a crazy scene, isn't it? There are so many different things going on, and yet it seems sort of simple. We have the beginning of this incredible love story of people who absolutely loved Jesus and adored him and really looked up to him and wanted to know more and more and more. And then at the same time, we have this kind of, one commentator called it a carnival-esque atmosphere. Like a carnival. So if I think of times when I have been to a carnival or when I have seen something like this happen, well, how about you? When was the last time that you were in town, any town, whether it's Wabash or Fort Wayne or Kalamazoo, Michigan? Is anybody from Kalamazoo? Well, I bet they have great carnivals. And when was the last time you were there and you just kind of happened upon a street festival or a street fair? Has it ever happened to anybody? Seriously, I'm going to give you a list of places to go. And I'm going to tell you, if you go at this time, because I love that. I love driving through small towns and there's some kind of a carnival going on. Well, I kind of have to stop. And it's not just for the elephant ear. That's just an extra, right? And if they don't have elephant ears, well, yes, then I'm judging them. They're not as good as some of the others I've been to. This is a mashup of a love story of God who loves us beyond all measure and people not exactly knowing what they do, and so they celebrate. And they get excited that this is going to be awesome. Sometimes we call those mashups. And, well, for instance, I heard a recording one time, and it was Cole Porter's song, Anything Goes. And after they sang a little bit of it, then the song from Annie Get Your Gun, Anything You Can Do, kind of gets transposed in. And so you're hearing Anything Goes, Cole Porter, awesome. Annie Get Your Gun, Anything You Can Do, I Can Do Better. And they just sang it together. It's a mashup. There are a lot of really amazing mashups. Most of them are done in the hip-hop world and in the rock world. But I loved that. Anything goes, anything you can do, I can do better. They meet. And that's what this is. It's a mashup of this love story that God has with all of us with a carnival. It's a celebration. It's a celebration. And that's what we see here on Palm Sunday. Sometimes you will see in recent times, we were just talking about this morning in Sunday school. When I was growing up, there was Palm Sunday, and then we would come back to church on Thursday for Maundy Thursday, and then we would come for Good Friday, and then we waited, and then it was Easter. Because church attendance isn't what it is anymore, people stopped coming to those services during the week, at least the way that they used to. And so the church, Big C Church, decided, let's mash up Palm Sunday and Passion Sunday. Let's do them all together in one, and then we'll come back and it'll be Easter. I don't like that. I don't like to be rushed because I don't think Jesus intended that. I don't think God intended that. I think God intended us to see this celebration and let it sink in however we interpret it. However we interpret it. In this passage, we see that Jesus is in charge. Jesus begins this with love, with God's love. But just as a reminder, it's not that superficial love that we say all the time, yeah, I love you, I love you. Although, please don't hear me mocking that, because I think the more we say that word and the more it becomes part of our vocabulary and the more we allow it to sink into our heart, the more maybe we actually will do it. It begins with God's love for all of us. It's not a superficial love. It's not a sentimental love. Instead, God's love for us and for the creation since the beginning of time until the end of time is always about being creative. It's always about doing something just a little bit different. It's about being redemptive. Here, let me show you how much I love you. I will save you for eternity. You will be with me forever. Your time here on this earth may be brief, but you will be with me forever. And what I believe is that God's love is a sustaining love. It's the same love that years and years and years ago I was taught, because, you know, I'm getting old. It's the same love that my dad was taught, my grandfather was taught, all the way down through the generations. It's the same love that we see in Adam and Eve when God created the earth and God created people to be in the earth. This begins with the love of God. And one of our problems is our definition of love is often too small. I say that when I see snickerdoodle cookies. I love snickerdoodle cookies. Well, I'm making that small. I really enjoy them. I really love them. There's something about the cinnamon and the chewiness. I love them. But sometimes we think, well, if I can love a cookie, or if I can love a snack cake, or if I can love a salad, I do love salad as well. What does that say about my love for all of you, or your love for me, or our love for our families, or our love for our communities, our love for the earth, our love for God? Our definition of love is often just too small. Because what Jesus showed us and what Jesus is getting ready to show us in these next few days is that God loves us with a love that withstands the horror of the crucifixion. On that day when Jesus rode into Jerusalem and people were singing Hosanna and praising God and praising Jesus, they had no idea that in just a few days, he would suffer the worst kind of humiliation and pain and heartache. But Jesus knew. Jesus knew what was ahead for him. Jesus knew and still said, "Here I come. You don't have to drag me in. I'm going to come willingly because unless I do this for you, I love that." This God's love is a love that withstands the horror of crucifixion. And God's love comes to us with real, true acts of compassion toward the afflicted. Now for us, for all of us that don't know God or before we knew God, that was us. But then God says, "Here, I'm going to bless all of you and put you in community. And now you have a task. And that task is to seek out the people that don't know the love of God. Your task is to go and help those who've been downtrodden and who've been swept away and who've been ignored. That's our task now." And so that compassion takes us out of looking at ourselves. It turns the focus off of me and it turns it back on what God intends me to see. This scripture that we have today, you probably noticed, it's kind of is in two parts. But did you notice the first part is verses 1-7? It's Jesus getting ready. And that has the biggest bulk of this section. Jesus has to make arrangements. He has to find the colt. It's not full grown. It's just a little donkey. And he has had to do advanced planning to know what's coming up. Probably he did it in front of the disciples, and maybe they were paying attention, maybe they weren't. There was a lot to happen. And then in verse 8, that's the part we remember. The people spreading their cloaks out. It began on the Mount of Olives, and it was really like a military procession that came through town. But it just happened in those three verses. Do you think that's a clue for us? Because so often I get an idea, and instead of doing all this advanced planning that Jesus did and that the disciples did and that the town did in verses 1-7, I just want to rush into the parade. Maybe you too? Let's just get to the good stuff. I just want to get to the good stuff. I don't need to hear all that. But in verses 8-11, we see that the crowd is not only waving branches, they are taking their coats off and they're putting them down in the street as a sign of honor and respect for Jesus as he comes by. And they praise Jesus. They're so excited and they're shouting and they're singing. But the problem is, it's not that they lacked a love of God and a love of Jesus. It's just that that love was so superficial. It happens, doesn't it? I have the very, very wonderful, high honor to be very good friends with a young couple that have 10-month-old twins. We ate pancakes yesterday at the Kiwanis pancake breakfast. It was awesome. And I know that yesterday I could not have been more loved. But I know too that if I see them later on this week, when I will, they may have nothing to do with me because they're children, they're babies. And that's sort of how we act with Jesus, isn't it? We act like babies. When I get what I want, when I get that pancake in my hand and I can shove it in my mouth, I am happier than anything. Blueberry preferable. But when things get tough, the pancake is gone, then I don't want to have anything to do with you. We do that same thing. We loved God superficially. And it isn't just when things go right, when things go terribly wrong. So it's like the things go terribly right, thank you, God. Things go terribly right, help me, God. It's all that huge space in the middle, isn't it? When sometimes I have to be reminded to think of God. That's our problem. In today's passage, this entry into Jerusalem was very critical for Jesus' ministry. It reminds us, do we worship Jesus, who he is, fully God, fully human, or do we just worship the powers that be? That on this day and at this time, this was just an exciting event. And then we're faced with the reality. Jesus didn't come to conquer. Jesus didn't come to control. But Jesus came to teach all of us peace. To teach all of us peace and love. To teach all of us the ways of God. The ways of God are not war. The ways of God are not conflict. That's what we do. Because of our selfishness, the ways of God are peace. And looking for the people that need to know love the most and help them through it. To be an example. To be part of that love story that started this passage. Not part of the carnival that is fun and then it's over. And now we're just left with a mess. So now is the time for all of us to think about how we want to be remembered, how we want to live our days, how we want to teach our children, how we want to live in this world. Do we want to stand in the world with the truth of the love of God? Do we want to bear witness to a life that loved us so much that he gave himself? Do we want to live with the dignity of a God who created us out of love and then reminds us that nothing will separate us, nothing. Not death. That doesn't destroy or silence us. So, at the end of this passage, at the very end, it says, then Jesus entered Jerusalem, went into the temple, and when he looked around at everything, as it was already late, he went to Bethany with the 12. One commentator that I wrote about said, it's very unusual. It was like Jesus saying, I'm here in the temple, but yet I don't see signs of God. I don't see those images of reaching out to the least, the last, and the lost. And he just left. That's conjecture, because maybe he was exhausted. This has been a big day. And he was just checking in before he left. It seems a little bit like this is the end. We know we're getting close to Easter. We know what's going to happen. But then we remember. Easter is such a great reminder that what seems like it's final, what seems like it's over, what seems like the ultimate sacrifice, and then we just go on with our regular lives, is not. A great philosopher once said, "To love is to suffer." To love is to suffer. When I was growing up, and when I thought to love meant ice cream. I thought to love meant bigger presents. I thought to love meant being able to do some things I really wanted to do. And sometimes many times, I get it wrong. To love is to suffer, and not suffer with moaning and wailing. It's to suffer knowing that hopefully tomorrow I will have another day to do it again, to show God's love to the people around me. God's love does not seek to seize on and hold objects and to control them. If we do, whether it's our family members or whether it's our church or whether it's our community or whether it's our world, if we're here just to control it, we really, truly only love ourselves. The correct love, I believe, and through all my study, I believe the correct love is that we endure through all of the suffering. I have seen parents whose hearts have been broken, sometimes by things that happen, sometimes by things that have happened to them or around them. And yet, Jesus told a parable, remember? And then when the disobedient child comes home expecting to be punished, that child was met with open arms. Oh, my dear, you're home. It's a reminder of what God does for all of us. All of those things that I do wrong through the day, all of those things I've done wrong in my life, all of those thoughts that I've had, all of that, as I come to God, God says, oh, welcome home. Jesus rode humbly on a donkey. In Jesus, we get to see that the world is different. It has a different kind of love. And then Jesus invites us, open up your arms with compassion and love. Remember this. Amen.
You have been listening to a podcast from Wabash Presbyterian Church. For more sermons and resources, please visit us at wabashpresbyterian.com.